والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The date is the 11th of Rabi' al-Thani or Rabi' al-Akhir. Rabi' al-Akhir, 1418, corresponding with the 14th of August, 1997. Here in Masjid al-Muslimin, approximately an hour before Maghrib. And we start, after ending the Aqidah class, a new subject or topic, and that new topic is entitled Fas'alu Ahla Zikr, Ask the People of Knowledge. And simply, this class will be just questions that have already been asked by the ulama of today, hafizahumullah, may Allah preserve them all. There will be questions that were already asked. There won't be questions asked by us. There will be questions that will be already asked by those noble scholars that we have living today, inshallah ta'ala. And they'll be on various subjects. They'll be on the subject of al-aqidah. They'll be on the subject of tafsir. They'll be on the subject of manhaj, methodology, and also other things. Those scholars that, inshallah, that we're going to be asking, because that's the name of the class, ask the people of knowledge, if you don't know, based on the verse, will be the likes of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abdullah ibn Baz, Sheikh Mustafa al-Adawi, Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Saleh al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh al-Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, Sheikh Abdullah ibn Jibreen, and many other of the other ulama who are considered scholars of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We'd like to start with our Sheikh Mustafa al-Adawi, hafizahullah, in a book that obviously that he has began, and obviously he wants to do the entire Quran in this way. He has a book called At-Tafheed Lita'weel Al-Tanzeel At-Tafseer Fi Su'al Wal-Jawab. And this book is questions and answers from Surah Al-Fatiha all the way to the last verse in Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Fatiha all the way to the last verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. He completed it, inshallah. And obviously, he wants to go, wallahu a'lam, to Surah Ali Imran, Surah An-Nisa, Surah Ma'idah, Surah Al-An'am, Surah Al-A'raf, Surah Al-Anfal, Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah Hud, all the way to the end of the Quran, inshallah. The first question that was asked by the Shaykh Mustafa, and Sheikh Mustafa is a student of Sheikh Muqbil. He is he studied about 8 or 9 years or maybe more with Sheikh Muqbil, took hadith signs from him and other things. He is still alive. He's a very young man. I think he might just be getting to his 40s now. He lives among other places in Al-Mansura, Egypt. And alhamdulillah, I'm very happy to say that he is a friend of mine. I know him well, inshallah. The first question is, Surah Al-Fatiha, هل هي مكية أو مدنية؟ وما هو الدليل على ذلك? Surah Al-Fatiha, is it a Meccan surah or a Medinan surah? And what is the evidence for that? Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi, حفظه الله تعالى, whose kunya is Abu Abdullah. He says, Surah Al-Fatiha Surah Makkiyah ala al-rajihi min aqwal ahli al-ilm. That Surah Al-Fatiha is a Meccan surah. It's a Meccan surah, which is the strongest of the opinions and statements of the scholars of Islam. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And we're going to, unfortunately, we're going to need someone to go to the English translation of the Quran to assist us. And inshallah, we're going to try to have these verses already prepared and these hadith already prepared in the future, inshallah. I just thought about doing this just now, so please bear with me, inshallah. Surah Al-Hijr, verse 87. The Shaykh says that Surah Al-Fatiha is a Meccan surah with the strongest of the opinions of the scholars of Islam, and the evidence for this is Surah Al-Hijr, the surah called the Rock, verse 87. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. And we're waiting for the brother, inshallah, to read that verse. Surah number 15, verse number 87. We have given you seven of the oft-repeated verses and the great Quran, wal Quran al Azim, and the Noble Quran translation says, right. So the Shaykh goes on, he says, وهذه في سورة الحجر. He says these verses are in Surah Al-Hijr, the stone, the rock. Wa Surah Al-Hijr Makkiyatun. He says, and Surah Al-Hijr is a Meccan surah bil-ijma' by consensus. Surah Al-Hijr is a Meccan surah. He says, نقل ذلك Al-Qurtubi. And Al-Qurtubi is the one who transmitted this, that it is a Meccan surah. وقد فسر النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم السبع المثاني والقرآن العظيم. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained the seven oft repeated verses and the glorious Quran in that surah by Al-Fatiha. Bil-Fatiha. He explained it by Al-Fatiha. And the Shaykh says in the footnote, وَهُوَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ كَمَا سَيَأْتِي تَخْرِيجُهُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And this is an authentic hadith, as the takhrij, or the breakdown of the chain of the hadith and giving the grading of the hadith, that inshallah, as we'll soon see. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ فَرْضُ الصَّلَاةِ بِمَكَّةَ فُرِضَ الصَّلَاةُ بِمَكَّةَ. He says, and likewise, salah was made obligatory in Mecca. وَقَدَ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And the Messenger of Allah, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, said, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. That there's no salah for the one who doesn't read the opening of the book. The opening of the book. So this is the Shaykh's evidence that Al-Fatiha is a Meccan surah. Strong evidence. It's very clear. Very clear. The next question that was asked the Shaykh, Shaykh Abu Abdullah, is, اذكر بعض الأسماء التي أطلقت على سورة الفاتحة. أطلقت على سورة الفاتحة. Mention some of the names. عليكم السلام. Mention some of the names that are applied to Surah Al-Fatiha. Some of the names that are applied to Surah Al-Fatiha. That's the su'al, the question. Al-Jawab, the answer from the Shaykh, is من هذه الأسماء, from some of these names, are فاتحة الكتاب. opening of the book. Also, ومنها أم الكتاب, the mother of the book. ومنها, and also, أم القرآن, the mother of the Quran. ومنها, and also one of the names of Al-Fatiha is Al-Hamd, the praise. And also Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is also the name of the surah. And also, one of the names of Al-Fatiha is As-Salah. As-Salah. The prayer. And وَمِنْهَا, and also one of the names of Al-Fatiha is As-Sab'u al-Mathani wal-Qur'an al-Azim. The oft-repeated verses and the glorious Qur'an. One of the names of Al-Fatiha is the glorious Quran. وَمِنْهَا, also one of the names of Al-Fatiha is Al-Ruqya. Al-Ruqya, which means like incantation. وَمِنْهَا, also one of the names of Al-Fatiha is Ash-Shafiya. Ash-Shafiya, meaning the healing. Or you could say the healer. And there are other names of Al-Fatiha. Wallahu A'lam. The next question, or su'al, asked of Sheikh Abu Abdullah Mustafa Al-Adawi Hafizahullah is, هل يجوز تفضيل بعض صور القرآن على بعض؟ أذكر باختصار ما يدل على ذلك. وكذلك, هل يجوز تفضيل بعض الآيات على بعض؟ Is it permissible to make to give superiority of some surahs of the Quran over others? Mention briefly what is that that indicates that, or what is the evidence towards that. Likewise, is it permissible to prefer or give superiority some ayat or verses over other verses? Al-Jawab, Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi says, Naam. يجوز تفصيل بعض صور القرآن على بعض. He said, yes, it is permissible to give superiority of some surahs of the Quran over some others. لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي سعيد بن المعلى أو معلى صلى الله عليه وسلم, because of the Messenger of Allah's statement صلى الله عليه وسلم to Abu Sa'id ibn معلى أو معلى or ma'ala, la'u'allimuka la'u'allimuka a'azama surati min al-Qur'an wa akhbarahu nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li'annaha al-Fatiha. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm going to surely teach you the most tremendous surah in the Qur'an, the most magnificent surah in the Qur'an. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him that it was Surah Al-Fatiha, and this hadith is collected by Al-Bukhari on the authority of the person who he taught, which is Abu Sa'id ibn al-Mu'la or Mu'alla. He says also, وَلِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ سُورَةِ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ الإخلاص. أيضا يجوز تفضيل بعضها تفضيل بعضها على بعض. فقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بن كعب: يا أبا المنذر، أتدري أي آية من كتاب الله معك أعظم؟ قال: قلت: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. قال: فضرب في صدري وقال: لا هينك العلم أبا المنذر، أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Also, the evidence is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Excuse me. He said about قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهَا لَتَعْدِلُ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ. He said that Surah Al-Ikhlas, I swear by the one who has my soul in his hands, equals a third of the Quran. Equals a third of the Quran. أما الآيات فكذلك أيضا يجوز تفضيل بعضها على بعض. As for the verses that have superiority over other verses, it is permissible to make superiority of some verses over others, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Ubay ibn Ka'b, O Abu al-Munzir, which was Ubay ibn Ka'b, Ubay ibn Ka'b kunya, Abu al-Munzir. He said, do you know which ayah from the Book of Allah that you have is the most tremendous? And Abu al-Munzir, who was Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu qayyum, which is ayah al-Kursi. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck him in the chest. Ubay ibn Ka'b said he hit him in the chest. وقال, and he said, you have, may you have the congratulations because you have knowledge. Congratulations, O Abu Munzir, because you have real knowledge, O Abu Munzir. Showing that the companion of the Messenger of Allah, Ubay ibn Ka'b, had deep knowledge, deep enough to know out of all those verses in the Quran, Ayatul Kursi was the most tremendous without the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, telling him. Without him telling him. Next question is, the next su'al asked of Sheikh Mustafa, ظن بعض العلماء أن جبريل عليه السلام لم ينزل بالفاتحة إنما نزل بها ملك آخر غيره، أذكر مستندا للقائلين بذلك وبين مدى صحته ومدى سلامة هذا الاستدلال. He said, the question is, some of the ulama think that Jibreel alayhi salam didn't descend with Al-Fatiha, but only it was another angel other than him that descended with it. Mention please for us the proofs connected to them, to the people who are saying that Jibreel was not the one who did this, and explain to us the scope of its authenticity and the scope of its soundness with evidences, with the proof that you use for the evidences. Al-Jawab, Sheikh Mustafa says, مُسْتَنِدُ الْقَائِلِينَ بِذَلِكَ. As the people who that this is connected to, the people who are the ulama who say this are from the hadith of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما: بينما جبريل قاعد عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع نقيضا من فوقه فرفع رأسه فقال: هذا باب من السماء فتح اليوم لم يفتح قط إلا اليوم. فنزل منه ملك فقال: هذا ملك نزل إلى الأرض لم ينزل قط إلا اليوم. فسلم وقال أبشر بنورين أوتيتهما لم يؤتهما نبي قبلك. فاتحة الكتاب وخواتيم سورة البقرة لن تقرأ بحرف منهما إلا أعطيته. نعم. He says the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما is as follows, which is collected by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, of course, that while Jibreel was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard a naqib. He heard a naqib from above him. A naqib is the sound when a door opens. He heard the sound of a door opening from above him. So he lifted up his head, and then he said, "That is a door in the heavens that was never opened, that is opening today, that has never been opened except today." And then an angel descended, and then he said, "There, this is an angel that has descended to the earth that has never descended before this day, ever." So he gave salam, and then he said, meaning the angel gave salam, and then the angel said, "May you have glad tidings of the two lights which will be given to you and hasn't been given to any prophet before you. Fatihatul Kitab, the opening of the book, and Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, was the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. You'll never read a letter from them except that you'll be given it," meaning given the reward for it. So the Shaykh says, وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ. Now Sheikh Mustafa here, he's saying that the hadith is hasan, but the hadith is in Muslim. The Shaykh says it's hasan. وَهَذَا مُسْتَنِدُ الْقَائِلِينَ بِأَنَّ مَلَكًا نَزَلَ بِهَا غَيْرُ جِبْرِيلِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. He says, and this is connected to those who are saying that it is an angel that descended other than Jibreel. Send it with Al-Fatiha. وَفِي هَذَا الْاِسْتِدْلَالِ نَظَرْ. He said, but in this, in their manner, their method of proof, he said, then there's some problems, and he's looking into. He says, فَإِنَّ الْمَلَكَ نَزَلَ يُبَيِّنُ فَضْلَ الْفَاتِحَةِ وَخَوَاتِيمَ سُورَةِ الْبَقْرَةِ. He said, because the angel that descended came to explain the bounty and the excellence of Al-Fatiha and the last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. أما جبريل عليه السلام فقد نزل بالقرآن كله. As for جبريل عليه السلام, he came with the entire Quran. كما قال تعالى, and this is mentioned in Surah الشعراء, and I don't know the Surah number of الشعراء. Shu'ara is the poet. It's verse number 193 and 194. نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين. And the English translation of that is, yes, and the verse says, which the true spirit or the angel Gabriel has brought down upon your heart, that you may be one of the warners. So the Shaykh says, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, this is his proof that and this angel didn't bring down the Al-Fatiha, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الْرُوحُ الْأَمِينَ, It was brought down by Angel Gabriel, عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْذِرِينَ, on your heart, so that you may be one of the warners. The next question that we want to ask one of the people of knowledge, Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adwi. Is هل ثبت أن لفظ الجلالة الله هو اسم الله الأعظم وما هو وجه القائلين بذلك? Is it confirmed that the لفظ الجلالة, that the auspicious, sublime expression Allah is the great name of Allah? And what is the aspect of those people's proof that say this? Al-Jawab, the answer by Sheikh Mustafa, لا أعلم دليلا على أن اللفظ الجلالة الله هو اسم الله العظم. He says, I don't know of any evidence that the لفظ الجلالة, the great, the auspicious, sublime name or expression Allah, or word Allah, is the great name Allah. It's the great name of Allah. لكن, but, قد قال بذلك بعض أهل العلم. He said, but some of the people of knowledge, they say this. ووجه قولهم يتمثل في الآتي. He said, and the aspect of their statement and opinion is comprised of the following. أولا, firstly, أنه اسم لله تبارك وتعالى لم يتسم به غيره. لم يتسم به غيره. Number one, that it is a name attributed to Allah, تبارك وتعالى, and no one else can have that name. No one else can be called Allah. كما قال تعالى, as Allah says in His book, هل تعلم له سميا? And this is in Surah Maryam, which is chapter 19, verse 65, which is the statement of Allah, knowest you one that can be named along with him? No, and I think the translation for Noble Quran says what? 65 at the end of that verse. Means, do you know anyone that can be named like him? Right, named by his that name. So the Sheikh goes on. He says, لا يثنى ولا يجمع. ولذلك لا يثنى ولا يجمع. لا, he said that. Likewise, this name Allah, and this is the first proof for those who say that it is the great name. This name can't be made feminine, and it can't be made plural. Alright? ثانياً, the second proof, أنه يوصف بجميع الصفات, that he is described by all the attributes. Allah, the name Allah. كما قال الله تعالى, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى. سورة الحشر, verse 22-24. And the point of evidence here is that the verse says, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. So all of these attributes, he's being described by all of the attributes, and that who is all of these attributes encompasses, is encompassed in the word Allah. So this is the second proof. Likewise, the Shaykh says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 18, To Allah belongs the most perfect, beautiful name, so call on Him by them, by utilizing them. Again, the word Allah is used because to Allah belongs. The word Allah, to Allah belongs, the most beautiful, perfect name. And then he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا. To Allah belongs, to Allah belongs 99 names. And he says, again, Allah says, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ يَعْنَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ. He is Allah in the heavens and in the earth, and He knows your secrets and that which you say openly and that which you say openly and do, that which you say and do secretly and that which you do and say openly. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And also, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. And so to Ra'd, verse 28, do you not know that the dhikr of Allah is that which makes the hearts have tranquility. That which makes the hearts have tranquility. And this is the evidences of some of the people, even though Sheikh Mustafa says he doesn't know of any Dalil that says that the word Allah is the Ismullah Al-A'zam. The next question that is asked by Sheikh Mustafa is, يقال لمن قال بسم الله مبسملة ويطلق بعض العلماء على بسم الله البسملة وهي لغة عليكم السلام ورحمة الله مولدة أذكر شاهدها من الشعر وأمثلة أخرى لها. Actually, we might leave this one because this is a little technical, because it involves having some knowledge of the Arabic language, and we'll leave that one, inshallah. The next question, moving to Surah Al-Baqarah, moving to Surah Al-Baqarah, the Sheikh says, the Sheikh has asked a question. Not moving to Surah Al-Baqarah. Still dealing with Al-Fatiha. The Sheikh is asked the question, هل يجب قول آمين في الصلاة? Is the statement آمين in the صلاة wajib? الجواب, the answer, قول آمين في الصلاة مستحب لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا قال غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فقولوا آمين. He said that the statement Ameen in the Salah is mustahabun, highly recommended, not obligatory. Because of the Prophet's statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says in the Imam, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, then you should all say Ameen. He said, وليس بواجب لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it's not obligatory, because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب وَمَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Read that which is easiest. Read, recite Al-Fatiha, or the opening of the book, and that which is easiest for you from the Qur'an. And what he's referencing here is the story of the one who they call مُسِيبُ صَلَاتَهُ, the one who messed up his salah. The one who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept telling, اِرْجِعْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Return and make the salah because you haven't made the salah. Then the Prophet, after he did that two or three times,
The man went back to make the salah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, showed him how to make the salah, and he told him to do this, that, this, 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 that, 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 this, all the way to the end. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say at the end, say Ameen, but at the end of the salah, he said, and do all of that in all your salah. So this is the proof that Sheikh Mustafa is saying. In other words, if it was wajib, the Prophet would have told him to do that. He would have told him to say Ameen. The next question is, هل يجهر بآمين في الصلاة الجهرية خلف الإمام أم يسر بها? Is saying Ameen aloud in the loud prayers behind the Imam, or should we say it audibly, or should we say it inaudibly behind the Imam and an audible prayer? Al-Jawab, the answer, ذهب فريق من أهل العلم إلى أنه يجهر بآمين خلف الإمام في الصلاة الجهرية واستدلوا بأدلة منها. A group of the scholars of Islam have the opinion that Ameen behind the Imam in an audible salah should be said audibly, and their evidences and their point of evidences is the following. Number one, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يمد صوته بآمين. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to raise his voice, used to elongate his voice with آمين. الثاني, secondly, قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما حسدتكم اليهود على شيء ما حسدتكم على السلام والتأمين. That the Jews don't envy you with anything more than what they envy you of giving the salam and saying Ameen. والثالث, and thirdly, أن أبا هريرة قال للإمام لا تفتني بآمين. And Abu Huraira's statement, and for the Imam is that you don't. لا تفتني بالآمين. I'm not absolutely sure what he means by لا تفتني بالآمين. But Allahu A'lam, I believe that it means don't cause, as for the Imam, don't cause me any fitna by saying Ameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best on the meaning of that. Allah knows best. Al-Rabi'u, he says, and the fourth proof is أَنَّ بَنَ الزُّبَيْرِ صَلَّ بِالنَّاسِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَجَهَرَ بِآمِينَ فَسَمِعَ لِلْمَسْجِدِ لُجَّةً بينما ذهب آخرون إلى أنه يسر بآمين وذلك لأن معناها عند الأكثر اللهم استجب فعليه فهي دعاء والأصل في الدعاء الإصرار به والرأي الأول أقوى لكثرة الأدلة عليه ولأن الدعاء وإن كان الأصل فيه الإصرار إلا أن هذه الصورة مستثناة منه والله أعلم. He said, and the fourth proof is that Ibn Zubair led the people in Salah in the masjid and said Ameen loudly. And that in the masjid there was a loud sound that was heard. A lujja. There was a loud sound that was heard. While the others have the opinion that no, the Ameen is said inaudibly. And that the reason for that is that because the meaning of it with most people the meaning of Ameen is, O Allah, accept it. O Allah, accept it. And that it is a dua, and the general principle is that dua is done inaudibly. But the first opinion is stronger because of the evidences that you say it loudly. Because it is dua, and even if the origin or the foundation of it is that it is inaudible, this here, in this manner, it has an exception from it, which is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ saying it audibly. We'd like to end this section on with Sheikh Mustafa, inshallah, and go to Sheikh Uthaymeen and deal with some aspects of Al-Aqidah, inshallah ta'ala. The first question that is asked of our Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. And for those who don't know about Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, he's one of the premier sheikhs of Ahl Sunnah of today. He is a professor at the College of Sharia, to the best of my knowledge, in the city of Qasim. He is one of the muftis, one of the well-known muftis of our time. الشيخ is asked the question, هل علامات القيامة الكبرى تأتي بالترتيب وكيف يظهر خروج يأجوج ومأجوج وهل الحيوانات تشعر بعلامات القيامة دون الإنس والجن. He was asked, are the signs of the major resurrection, will the signs of the major resurrection appear or come in chronological order, and how will the emergence of the God and the Magog be, and do animals or will animals sense or feel the signs of the resurrection unlike the human beings and the jinn? Al-Jawab, Sheikh Uthaymeen answers, he says, أشراط الساعة الكبرى بعضها مرتب ومعلوم. He says, some of the major signs of the hour, some of them are in chronological order and will be known. وبعضها غير مرتب ولا يعلم ترتيبه. And some of them are not in chronological order and their order is not known. فمما جاء مرتبا, and some of those that are in chronological order, meaning in a sequential order, are نزول عيسى بن مريم وخروج يأجوج ومأجوج والدجال. Some that will come in sequential order is the descent of Isa the son of Maryam, the emergence of Gog and the Magog, and Dajjal. He says, فَإِنَّ الدَّجَّال يُبْعَثُ لَمْ يَنْزِلْ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ يَبْعَثُ ثُمَّ يَنْزِلُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ فَيَقْتُلُهُ ثُمَّ يَخْرُجُ يَجُوجُ وَمَجُوجُ. He said that Dajjal will come up, will be sent. He'll rise. And then, in sequential order, Isa, the son of Maryam, will come. And then Isa will kill Dajjal, and then the God and the Magog will come. وَقَدْ رَتَّبَ السَّفَارِينِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي عَقِيدَتِهِ هَذِهِ الْأَشْرَاطَ لَكِنْ بَعْضَ هَذَا التَّرْتِيبِ تَطْمَئِنَّ إِلَيْهِ النَّفْسِ وَبَعْضَهَا لَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ. He said the great scholar in his Aqidah, his book of Aqidah, السَّفَارِينِ, may Allah have mercy on him, gave an arrangement in sequential order of these signs. He said, but some of them, I feel kind of okay with them, I feel kind of tranquil with them, I feel that, you know, he's hit the mark with them. And some of them, I don't think he hit the mark with them. This is what the Sheikh says. Then he says, وَالْتَرْتِيبُ لَا يُهِمُّنَا. He said, but the sequential arrangement and order that these things will happen is not important to us. Sheikh Uthaymeen says. He says, وَإِنَّمَا يُهِمُّنَا أَنَّ لَسَّاعَةَ عَلَىٰ. And that they occur, that the hour is going to be close. That's what's important to us. That the hour is going to be close when those signs come. We shouldn't be concerned with the arrangement and the sequential order of the signs, but we should be more concerned with knowing what the signs are. He says, وَقَدْ جَعْلَ اللَّهُ لِلسَّاعَةِ أَشْرَاطًا. Because Allah has made for this hour, the hour, the time, signs. لِأَنَّهَا حَدَثَ هَامٌ يَحْتَاجُ النَّاسُ إِلَىٰ تَنْبِيهِهِمْ لِقُرَبِ حُدُوثِهِ. He said, and the occurrence of them is important, and the people are in need of them being aware of them, because then they'll know that these things are going to happen, that they're very close, that the advent of those things are very close. وَلَا نَدْرِي هَلْ تَشْعُرُ الْبَهَائِمْ بِذَلِكَ. And we don't know if the animals are going to sense this or not. We don't know. وَلَكِنَّ الْبَهَائِمَ تُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَتُحْشَرُ وَيُقْتَصُ مِنْ بَعْدِهَا لِبَعْدٍ لِيُقْتَصُ لِلشَّاتِ الْجَلْدَاءِ مِنَ الْقَرْنَاءِ. He says, but the animals are going to be resurrected and they're going to be gathered, and one is going to narrate to the other, pleading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one wronged the other, like the horned goat who wronged the unhorned goat. The unhorned goat will be given its rights, will ask Allah for its rights for being gorged by the horned goat. Being gorged by the horned goat. The next and last question before we call the adhan until after the salah, the su'al that was asked by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Saleh Al Uthaymeen. الرجال في الجنة لهم أزواج من الحور العين فما الدليل على النساء. That the men in Jannah are going to have wives or mates from among the حور العين. So what is the dalil for the women? الجواب, the Shaykh says, للنساء رجال من الذين هم من أهل الجنة. That for the women, they'll have men of those whom are of the people of Jannah. والرجال الذين من أهل الجنة أفضل من حور العين. And the men are those who are the people of the Jannah will have the best of the Hur al-Ain. وَأَفْضَلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ. And they will be the most superior of them with Allah from among them. وَعَلَى هَذَا فَنُصِيبُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَنَصِيبُ النِّسَاءِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ قَدْ يَكُونُ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَصِيبِ الرِّجَالِ فِيهَا مِنْ حَيْثُ النِّكَاحِ. He says, and based on this, the portion or the share that the women are going to get in Jannah might be greater than the portion of the men in Jannah, by virtue of the fact, by way of nikah, by way of marriage. على أن المرأة في الدنيا أيضا يكون لها أزواج في الجنة. Because the woman in the dunya also will have for her mate in Jannah. وَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ لَهَا زَوْجَانِ. And if the woman in the dunya had two husbands, فَإِنَّهَا تُخَيِّرُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Then she'll be able to choose between the two of them. وَتَقْتَارُ أَحْسَنَهُمَا خَلْقًا. And she'll be able to choose the better of the two of them, the better creation of the two of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And inshallah after the salah, we'll come back and ask the ulama more, as Allah has commanded us, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know.
We'd like to continue with ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. The next question that was given to our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen is, ما هي العبادات التي يمكن إهداؤها إلى الميت? What are those acts of worship of which is possible to present to the dead? Shaykh says, القول الراجح أن جميع العبادات يمكن إهداؤها إلى الميت كالحج والصوم والصدقة والإعتاق عنه وقراءة القرآن له والعمرة وغير ذلك ولكن الذي دلت عليه السنة ألا تهدى الأعمال الصالحة للأموات يعنى أن ذلك ليس بمشروع ولا مطلوب من الإنسان أن يهدي العبادات إلى الأموات وإن كان جائزا وإنما المشروع أن يدعو لهم لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث صدقة جارية أو علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له وعلى هذا لو أتى الإنسان فقال هل الأفضل أن آتى في عمرة لأبي أو أدعو له قلنا الأفضل أن تدعو له لأن هذا الذي أرشد إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Shaykh says that the strongest opinion inshallah is that all of the types of worship are possible to present it to the dead, to do as something on behalf of the dead person, like Hajj and fasting, pilgrimage and fasting, and charity, and emancipation, manumitting of slaves for him or her, and the recitation of the Quran for him, and also for Umrah and things other than that. He said, but that which the Sunnah indicates and gives dalil for is that the righteous deeds are not given for the dead except those things that are mashru', that are legal and that are requested from the human being that he should have given of those types of worship. And those types of worship that are given as a gift, for lack of better words, represented to the dead, those are the ones which are legal, those are the ones that are permissible. Only the ones that are legislated, like making dua for them. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, when the human being dies, then his actions are all ceased except for three. Perpetual charity, or knowledge that he is benefited by, or righteous child. He said, and based on this, and on that, that if a person comes and he says, what is the best of that which I can bring of Umrah for my father? Is it better that I bring, that I pursue Umrah for my father, or make dua for him? Is it better that I make Umrah for my father, or make dua for him? We would say, Shaykh Uthaymeen says, it is better to do what? To make dua. To make dua for him, because that is what the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has already instructed us to do. The next question, of which the Shaykh was asked about, Shaykh says, the question was asked, هل نستطيع أن نثبت us صفه الملل والهرولة لله تعالى. Are we able to affirm this attribute of I'm forgetting the meaning of this word. Inshallah, the hadith will come to me. Inshallah, some of the meaning of this word. But are we able to confirm or affirm the attribute of al-malal and al-harwala, which is Allah running or rushing? And are we able to attribute that to the message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer that the Shaykh gives is, جاء في الحديث عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قوله there comes in the hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمِلَّ حَتَّى تَمِلُّ, that Allah doesn't have his malal until you have the malal. And I forget what the word malal means. I've forgotten. He says, فَمِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ إِثْبَاتِ الْمَلَلِ لِلَّهِ لَكِنَّ الْمَلَلَ اللَّهِ لَيْسَ كَمَلَلِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. He said, this hadith, some of the ulama say, is a proof of the affirmation of al-malal with Allah. But the malal of Allah is not like the malal of the created thing. The meaning of melon, which I couldn't remember, is become weary, or to become bored, or to become tired. To become weary or bored or tired. And the hadith says from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is لا إن الله لا يمل لا يمل حتى تمل, that Allah doesn't become tired or weary, or Allah doesn't become weary until you become weary. And he says the ulama, they say that this is the evidence, this is the proof of the affirmation of al-malal for Allah. But the malal of Allah is not like the malal of the created. He says إذ إن الملل المخلوق نقص لأنه يدل على سأمه وضجره من هذا الشيء, أما الملل الله فهو كمال وليس فيه نقص, ويجرى هذا كسائر الصفات التي نثبتها لله على وجه الكمال, وإن كانت في حق المخلوق ليست كمالا. The Sheikh says that because the malal or the weariness or the weariness or the despair or the weariness of the created thing has deficiencies. Because that indicates vexation and indicates displeasure. I mean, it indicates fatigue and indicates some type of lack of strength, etc. He says, as for the malal of Allah, the malal of Allah is perfect and complete, and it has no deficiencies in it. Like, and this is the way that we understand all the rest of the attributes of which we affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is in a manner that the aspect that they are perfect and complete. Even though pertaining to the created thing, they're not complete. He says, ومن العلماء, and other of the ulama say, من يقول, are those who say, إن قوله لا يمل حتى تمل, that Allah doesn't have the weariness until you become weary, or Allah doesn't despair until you despair. يراد به بيان أنه مهما عملت من عمل فإن الله يجازيك عليه فاعمل ما بدا لك فإن الله لا يمل من ثوابك حتى تمل من العمل. وعلى هذا فيكون المراد بالملل لازم الملل. He said there are other ulama who say that the meaning of it is an explanation that whenever you do something of an action, then Allah will reward you for it, so you should do it, and that will be made clear to you. But of course, maybe that will be made clear to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't despair of rewarding you until you despair of your action. Until you despair of your action. He says, and with this, the intent of the melal here is a binding melal, meaning that when you despair, when you don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you a reward for that, and you despair in doing your good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be just like that with you. That's what it means. وَمِنْهُمْ إِنْ أَلْصُوا بِعُلَمَاءِ مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى صِفَةِ الْمَلَلِ لِلَّهِ إِطْلَاقًا لِأَنَّ قَوْلَ الْقَائِلِ لا أقوم حتى تقوموا لا يستلزم قيام الثاني, وهذا أيضا لا يمل حتى تملوا لا يستلزم ثبوت الملل لله عز وجل. He says, and there are others of the ulama who say that this hadith doesn't indicate that the attribute of melal for Allah unrestrictedly, because the statement of the person who says, I'm not going to stand up until you stand up, doesn't necessitate the standing up of the second person. Doesn't necessitate the standing up of the second person. So with that also, Allah will not despair until you despair. Doesn't necessitate the affirmation of Allah's despair for an attribute of His. وعلى كل حال, the Sheikh says, anyhow, يجب علينا أن نعتقد أن الله تعالى منزه عن كل صفة على عن كل صفة نقص من الملل وغيره. وإذا ثبت أن هذا الحديث دليل على الملل فالمراد به ملل ليس كملل المخلوق وليس كملل المخلوق. He says, anyway, he says that it is incumbent and wajib on us to believe that Allah Ta'ala is far above any type of attribute that has defects. And the defects of despair or any other type of attribute that has defects. And that when it is hadith confirms is a proof that the melal or the despair or the weariness, the intent here is not that it is not the despair and the weariness of the created thing. He says, وَأَمَّا الْهَرْوَلَ, and as for the rushing of Allah or the running of Allah, فَجَاءَتْ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَيْضًا, that also came in a hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah says, مَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً, whoever approaches me walking, then I will approach him running. فَاخْتَلَفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ فِي ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِنَّ الْمَعْنَى مِنْ فِعْلِ الطَّاعَاتِ عَلَى وَجْهٍ بَطِيءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُصِيبُهُ عَلَى وَجْهٍ سَرِيعٍ وليس هذا إثباتا للهرولة فإن الله تعالى لا يهرول. ومن العلماء من قال بل نثبته على ظاهره ونقول إن لله هرولة تليق بجلاله وعظمته. He said the ulama, and we're going to end it here, that the ulama inshallah differ in the meaning of this hirwala. Some of them say that the meaning is an action of obedience in a manner that is like moving slowly, like the person is moving slowly, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward the person who moves quickly in a manner that is quick, and not that it's an affirmation that Allah has this attribute of running. For surely Allah does not run. That's what some of the people say.
The other ulama say that,
but rather we do affirm the running to Allah on the outward appearance of the meaning of the word, but we say that Allah runs in a manner befitting His sublimity and His magnificence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, A'lam, Allah knows best. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم.